Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we have Father Brian Pierce. Father Brian is a missionary, itinerant preacher, and lecturer based out of Irving, Texas. The title of his preaching is, "Were Not Our Hearts Burning?"
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it's now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to where they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set off at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had happened on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Gospel of the Lord. It was the first day of the week, and a couple of our brothers and sisters were headed to a small village about 7 miles from Jerusalem, to a little town called Emmaus. Nobody was talking much along the way. It was just too painful to talk after all that had just happened. Though it seemed like years had gone by, it was actually just a week ago that we had gathered to celebrate Passover meal together. We tried to communicate to the others and what Jesus had spoken that night as we sat around the table sharing stories and tending to the fire. Of course, who would have ever thought that that was going to be the last meal that we would share together? We felt devastated, like sheep without a shepherd, when we heard the news. We had no idea where to go or what to do now that Jesus, our dear brother and friend, was dead. About all that we could do to lessen the pain was to sing hymns deep into the night. Thanks be to God, the singing was a kind of healing balm. But then we would again recall the cross and the violence and the soldiers rolling dice. Were we ever going to heal from this unbelievable violence? No matter how much we longed to remember the good times we'd shared, it was the image of his lifeless body hanging on that cross that made us feel like we were in prison. Everything seemed to smell of death. That same day, a couple of our companions set off to the small village of Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It just so happened that as they were walking in that direction, a man joined them on the path. Nobody knew who the man was, though he seemed to be a very devoted pilgrim on his way to Jerusalem. He drew near them and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. By then, everyone in the area was aware of the news of the rabbi named Jesus, who had been crucified and left to die on a cross. Some of the women of our village had gone to visit the tomb, but they didn't find his body. We didn't know what to do, where to go. Would we ever be able to forget that night, that meal that we had shared with him on the Feast of Passover? Of course, it would have never occurred to us that it might be the last meal that we'd all have with Jesus, breaking bread and sharing that nice Galilean wine that Andrew received as a gift from a widow on the outskirts of town. A sense of tremendous sadness settled upon us. Even some of our non-believer friends and neighbors were sad that our gentle friend, the rabbi named Jesus, had been so brutally executed for no reason at all. Of course, there were some people who questioned Jesus' authority. He had clearly made some enemies along the way. None of us really knew what to do next. Even though we had all witnessed the awful events, we were still not quite sure what had happened, and we had no idea where to go from here. It began to look like death had won the battle after all. Sadness and fear hung in the air like a heavy fog that just seemed to get thicker and thicker in our throats. It was even hard to look at each other eye to eye, much less try to carry on a conversation. We all had the same questions going around in our hearts and minds. Now what? Now what do we do? Does this mean that everything that he told us and everything that we had hoped for is gone forever? Was all of this futile, a worthless treasure hunt? Do you mean to say that this was the end of the dream that he sowed in our hearts? As we struggled with all these questions, we heard someone knocking at the door. We opened it, and before we could blink an eye, Jesus was standing there in our presence. We were in utter shock. Our hearts were confused and at the same time filled with a sense of unbelievable joy and gratitude. But wait a minute. We saw Jesus hanging on the cross. It was only then that we began to understand all that he had been speaking to us along the way. We just couldn't fathom it. There he was right in front of us, with those godforsaken, worn-out sandals that he'd promised he'd wear until the day he entered into the kingdom. I don't know how many times we tried to give him some new sandals. Each time he flat-out refused, he'd always say, "I promise you I'll be wearing these silly sandals into the kingdom of God for all eternity." Well, guess what? He won that bet, hands down. After leading us in a prayer of thanksgiving and knowing that we were all in shock, Jesus pulled out a bunch of freshly picked figs wrapped in a large banana leaf and shared them with us. We were utterly speechless in shock. Philip remembered that one of the neighbors had given us a flask of wine for the supper. Jesus smiled when he saw the wine as his disciples stood in utter belief. He was recollected and in good spirits. We called the many disciples who had gathered around the village to join us in prayer and a song of thanksgiving. We tried to get Jesus to stay with us, but in a blink of an eye, he seemed to disappear, singing into the night. Were not our hearts burning with us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures? Who knows? Our time to act.